And he and his mom, St. Helena, sponsored a series of excavation is perhaps a bit too scientific. Maybe it was just hunting by digging up various Christian sites. You know, where did the crucifixion take place? Where was the sepulcher of one's Lord? Where various other locations were in the New Testament accounts, the Synoptic Gospels of the final crucifixion, and also going into the Synoptic Gospels and the other traditions to find out what you could determine about Bethlehem. So, from Constantine's reign until the conquest of the region by the Arabs in the 7th century, the Roman province of Palestine was dramatically transformed. It was, from the Roman imperial viewpoint, a rather remote and distant province, not too important except for a strategic highway. But with Constantine, it became the focus of a new Jerusalem, a Christian Jerusalem, with all sorts of shrines and sites that Christians would make an effort to see. This had consequences for the region. The Patriarch of Jerusalem, he was recognized as a full patriarch in 451, encouraged this. It was to his advantage to bring in Christian tourists. It brought him money. It also brought him prestige. Various empresses put a great deal of effort on developing the pilgrimage shrines in the Holy Land. St. Helena, who reputedly found the true cross in the excavations. And one of the most common depictions in Byzantine art of the Macedonian period, the period of the just before the Crusades, is the Empress Helena and her son Constantine with the true cross. There were imperial foundations of monasteries. Later, Byzantine empresses founded monasteries as an act of piety. Hospitals were set up. All sorts of accommodations for the numerous faithful coming in to see the sites. Saint Jerome, who translated the Bible into the vernacular Latin, the Jerome Bible that was to be used in Western Europe in the Middle Ages, himself settled in Bethlehem in 386, and there spent the remaining of his years of his career, and said quite frankly, the reason he moved to Palestine was the fact that it put him in closer communion with God. He was able to contemplate the Scriptures better. There were critics to this idea, usually intellectuals. The most viciously and deliciously worded criticisms are from St. John Chrysostom, the Patriarch of Constantinople, who often denigrated these sites. But nonetheless, the vast majority of Christians felt instinctively that going to see these sites were important, that somehow spiritual rejuvenation was there. And as a result, a whole tradition grew up in the late Roman world of accommodating and facilitating the movement of pilgrims from Western Europe to Palestine. And this was particularly important for the Western Europeans because they had so few sacred places. Their faith had originated in Palestine, in the eastern parts of the Roman Empire. Places such as Gaul, Spain, and Britain were comparatively late in the Christian tradition. And you had the development of a series of itineraries. The most remarkable one is by a Gaelic lady, Etheria, who traveled to Asia Minor somewhere in the later 4th century, probably the 360s, 370s, wrote a very detailed itinerary. It's marvelously naive in some ways. She's got these wide eyes explaining all the different sites she sees, including several important shrines in Asia Minor. But she probably hit upon most of the main sites in Jerusalem and Bethlehem, and her itinerary, her sacred itinerary, was a model of itineraries that would last through the whole period of the Middle Ages, the Crusades, and beyond, well into the early Ottoman period, where pilgrims were still coming from Western Europe in the 15th and 16th century.